You've just stepped inside the Walk and Talk podcast, number one in the nation for food lovers, chefs, and storytellers. I'm Carl Fiadini, your host, shining a light on the flavor, the hustle, and the heart of the industry. We're the official podcast for the New York, California, and Florida restaurant shows, the Pizza Tomorrow Summit, the U.S. Culinary Open at NAFM, and the North American media platform for the Burnt Chef Project. Recorded at Ibis Images Studios, where food photography comes alive, and I get the first bite. Find out more info at thewalkandtalk.com. With SNAP benefits being cut and food insecurity on the rise, more families are learning to stretch what they've got. And Chef CG Castro is showing how it's done. Today we're filming a Pasteles Masterclass for Central Tampa Bay, featuring her puerco guisado, a slow-cooked pork stew built on Del Encanto Foods sofrito, along with family tradition. CG's blending the old-school, grind-it-by-hand style with the quick modern version anyone can tackle. This episode is about cooking smart and turning affordable staples into comfort food. CG pairs her stew with harina to show how real flavor can feed a family of five for under 10 bucks. She's also sharing no-waste tips, kitchen hacks, and the spirit of making more with less. We're shouting out Feeding Tampa Bay and the World Central Kitchen, both fighting hunger where it matters most, and to close it out, a sweet bite. Fried dough, fresh berries, and a drizzle of pasta honey honeycomb. Simple, beautiful, and from the heart. Because today's story isn't just about food. It's about resilience, resourcefulness, and the people keeping culture alive, one plate at a time. Chef, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me.
Listen, let me tell you something. The puerco. Oh my goodness.
You say that every time I cook for you.
I love it so much. But it's not just that the food is great. Your personality in delivering the food is phenomenal. You remind me of the females from my family growing up. And they're just like, you want a plate? I'm going to make you a plate. You want a plate? Okay, what's a good? You want to? I love that because it reminds me of growing up. And anyway, the food is fantastic. But more importantly, or is at least equally as important, your personality when you're here.
Thank you. I love being here with you guys. Yeah, they're kind of like cousins.
It's what it feels like.
Yeah, it is what it feels like.
And well, so it's full circle because my cousins do this stuff for me.
Oh, that reminds me of my cousin Daniel in Miami. He's going to get such a kick out of this. Yeah. He thinks the same thing.
It's fun. We have a lot to unpack today. We had a long 2 weeks, and the reality is we just came off of Savor St. Pete, and that was a banger. Tammy, you're awesome. Alexia, Chef Lee, the gang, Chef David Johnston from Kinder's, Ethan Holmes from Rayo's. I mean, so many people. And J-Rod over at Filippo Berio. My boy, Chef David Reyes. All y'all, it was really great. John, I mean, the photography at the event. My boy, my bro. Fantastic.
I was really impressed with your mobile studio setup at Savor St. Pete. I saw it on Facebook or Instagram.
John shaking his head. Yes. Be happy with that. He acknowledged you. Savor St. Pete last weekend was a banger. Can't wait for next year. Let me tell you what happened yesterday. The chef, Pooch Rivera, myself, and the amazing Jordan Fontenot went to Atlanta, flew into Atlanta in the morning. We recorded video and film for a podcast with, wow, this guy's awesome, the chef, Freddie Money from Atlas Restaurant, Michelin rated, recent winner of the U.S. Culinary Open. And let me tell you something, this guy is no joke, but more importantly, cool as ice, nicest guy on the planet. And what a team. We got to hang out while they were doing family meal. Wow. I mean, first of all, being in the kitchen at a Michelin restaurant while they're doing their prep, doing the things that they do to hold that title, amazing. And then to hang out with them during that special moment, priceless stuff. Nick, Polly, you guys are amazing. Appreciate you setting that up for us. So many more things to come between the U.S. Culinary Open, Walk and Talk Media, and everybody else. Not to mention, we ran into Chef Nikolai Tram, also a Michelin chef, because we just happened to be there going to say hello to Freddie. what a great day for culinary in terms of what we're doing out there for production. Really great day. Lastly, we were introduced to Lee Wilson from Creative Loafing. This is over at Saver St. Pete. What a cool gal, mm-hmm. number one, right? Like the introduction was made and, you know, she's like, walk and talk podcast? I said, yeah. She looks back at me and she goes, are you the host guy? I said, yeah. She's like, oh my God, I listened to your show. That's really terrific. I was like, so for me, when other people in media follow what we do, it's the most flattering thing in the world. It's really an amazing feeling because there's some, you know, peer-to-peer, respect or whatever.
100%.
Totally digging it. And the other cool part of the story is she had mentioned how she was on Bubba the Love Sponge like a week or two prior, whatever it was. And she brought us up on his show. I am floored. Like she threw me over the edge. Anyway, it was great to meet her. She's really, really cool. And I think she's going to probably come in over the next week or two. She's going to sit in with us on the show. So keep your eyes open for that. Yeah,
that's awesome. I met her years ago. We turned a bowl together for the nonprofit Bowls for Good. Her and the editor, James Howard. I love Creative Loafing. I love the work that they do. And I love the staff. Really cool.
They do a lot of big stuff with the culinary, mm-hmm. man. They're great. Mm-hmm. But let's talk stew.
Let's do it.
All right. Let's talk puerco.
Let's do it.
What did you do to me today?
I fed you guys.
You fed up.
You're in practically a food coma.
I am right now. I don't know how I'm speaking with you at this moment. Between the food coma, 2 hours of sleep, you know, we shot yesterday. We filmed yesterday, flew in, shot, got on a plane, flew back, got ready for this morning. Yeah, we did this whole thing. Pretty amazing.
Impressive.
That was awesome.
And I fed us all. I fed us all for under $5.
So let's talk about that. Well, before we do, what else did you cook today?
So I made the puerco guisado with harina, which is just kind of an ode to my grandparents and something that my grandmother would make my grandfather with, you know, the leftovers, right? You're stretching your leftovers. So if we had a little bit of puerco guisado is basically just pork stew. So if we had a little bit of that, she would just make harina, which is cornmeal, and mix it in. And, you know, a little bit goes a long way and it's very filling. So I made that today. And then I also, we did a pasteles tutorial because we have heard you guys. Everyone's asking, do you have a tutorial? And I didn't. We had a couple B-rolls that we did months ago, my very first walk and talk. But, you know, we didn't have an actual like A to Z. So we did one today in English and in Spanish. So no one gets left behind. Step by step, how to make those. And that was a request of my friend, Carolina, who's also the editor of Centro Tampa Bay, the sister paper to the Tampa Times. And you're welcome, Carolina. I hope you love it. And then we did a play on sopapillas and beignets, kind of combining the two, fried dough topped with powdered sugar, a little drizzle of honey and some fresh berries to kind of balance it out. And I think that's it. It was a lot of food.
It really was. It's a ton of food. And I'm here for it. In the opening monologue, we talked about food insecurity on the rise with snap cuts and everything that's kind of coming on board. It's even affecting the airports and everything. I'm glad we got our stuff done yesterday. And I'm not flying out next week. I saw something in the news this morning about how they think everybody's just going to do a walkout or whatever. I hope that doesn't happen. Susie, what's the first thing families should remember when money gets tight?
I think that the first thing that I would tell maybe another mother or someone that is struggling, you know, filling their pantry is, the first thing I would say is not to panic, right? The second thing I would say would be to seek assistance, because one thing I can say is that Tampa Bay is awesome. Like, I have seen so many organizations, restaurants, even just people in the community rallying to feed our hungry neighbors. So, you know, there is that. And then also, you know, during this time, it's important to have an open mind, right? Like, you know, there's a lot of these keywords like sustainability and organic and all that's great and good. But right now, we need to just focus on survival. And if that means, you know, canned meats like Vienna sausages, which I have to admit, I still make arroz con salchicha on the regular, which is like a one pot meal of yellow rice and these little Vienna hot dogs cut up. Or if I don't have that and I'm digging into like my hurricane supply, you know, it could be Spam or whatever's on sale. At the end of the day, all that matters is that you're satiated. And also, you know, thinking about how to make that happen is maybe buying whole grains in bulk, right? So like 1 pound of dried beans cooked equals about 4 cans of beans if you were to buy it, but at a fraction of the cost. So be creative. And I hope we get through this.
We're definitely going to get through it. It's going to be challenging short term. You know, so back in 2005, when Florida had like a hurricane every weekend for a month.
Yeah.
I was out of power for 3.5 weeks. Mm-hmm. And what I did have was, believe it or not, Chef Boyardee raviolis.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like pop top cans. You didn't have to heat it up. Now, I'm not saying that's awesome, right? But it fills you up and you don't need to heat it. And you all you need is a spoon or a fork and you're good to go. Just saying. And it's a couple of dollars a can. Just throwing that out there. It was sustained us for almost a month. Someone said that food has always been the great uniter. What does that mean to you when you're cooking for people who might be struggling?
You know, when I hear that, I think that no matter who you are, where you come from, what you have, what you don't have, the fact of the matter is I feel like everyone can understand and gain comfort from a shared meal. And, you know, in times like this, if you have extra, you know, maybe send some home. You know, I mean, I don't know, in Spanish households, even when there wasn't a lot, there were always like to-go packs, right? And, you know, and we can still make that a thing if we have to give and do it and accept it, you know, because it has to go both ways. You have to accept it without shame and you have to just give if you have.
So then growing up for you, what was the process?
You know, growing up was tough. You know, we had some, you know, financially difficult times. And my mom was incredibly creative and she kept us fed. So, you know, it's kind of a funny story. You know, growing up at the time, you know, picadillo was one of the cheapest cuts of meat. And so she would buy like a pound of picadillo and she would make it. And that's what we would eat every day for like a week. And now, you know, as an adult, picadillo is one of my comfort meals. And my brother hates it. He'll never eat picadillo ever again because we've eaten it every day. But, you know, it just goes to show that, you know, the struggle foods is what my husband and I call them, right? You know, your rice and tuna, your rice and egg, although eggs are now astronomical. But, you know, your arroz con salchicha, like all of these dishes that we were eating because they were affordable are now comfort meals. So, you know, that's how my mom did it. My mom would purchase produce that might be close to expiration. So this is another thing that I will say, like a pro tip, go to your farm stand. And I still do this. And so I go to my farm stand and there's always like a table out front with like bags, whether it's peppers or maybe a pineapple that's like literally needs to be eaten that day. And these things are quarters, maybe a dollar. And I will say that those pineapples are always my favorite because it tastes like candy. But my mom, you know, she did that and she would come home, she'd cut off the bad parts and she would make a soup. Like you can be creative and that's still one of my favorite hacks.
What people forget is just because there's some blemish on a piece of fruit or veg, it's probably the perfect time to eat that fruit. Don't forget that.
100%. You know, being a home gardener, which I have to say life has been a little busy, so my garden is completely neglected. But when you have real produce, it's not pretty. it's not like what you find in the store. It's going to be odd shaped. It's going to have brown spots. But yeah, I agree with you.
Pasteles, they carry a lot of history. And what are they representing to you beyond just a dish? And I know we're doing this for Centro Tampa Bay. And I don't care what John says, I'm saying Tampa Bay like that.
You know, for me, it's, you know, they mean resilience to me, you know. So my favorite part about making pasteles is, you know, the women gathering. And, you know, that's the time of year where you get, there's a lot of chatter, right? So you get a lot of oral history, right? You get a lot of the stories. You know, we're always so busy and everyone's like scattered all about, but one time, you know, this is like one of the few times out of the year, maybe once or twice a year, if you're lucky, that, you know, you're having a slumber party. It's that quality time where I really feel like it has gifted me the privilege of actually getting to know. And I'm specifically thinking of like my Titi Lucy, who I inherited when I married my husband. You know, I love her. I admire her. And, you know, but you have your aunts, your favorite aunts, and you have your favorite cousins and, you know, the older ones, but you don't really know them. You don't know the struggles. You don't know, you know, what they overcame. And I find in those times when, you know, even with my mom during Thanksgiving, you know, that's our holiday, you know, you get the stories where you see your parents or, you know, your elders, instead of seeing them as like your aunt or your mom, you see them as women. And for me, like, that's my favorite part of coming together. And also I take the opportunity of like, hey, I've always wanted to learn how to make this. Can you, you know, teach me? Or, you know, because even though we're making pasteles and we are eating, you know, we will eat them, you know, we're still cooking other things. And so I take that opportunity to learn the family recipes and learn the family history. So for me, that's, you know, my favorite part of our pasteles tradition.
How are you deciding what you're going to change or how you're going to adapt?
Well, you know, ease, you know, grating them, you know, like for instance, the pasteles are, were typically milled by hand and grated by hand. And then that's really, really nice. But that's also because food processors weren't around, right? And now they are. So, you know what? Why not? You know, for me, if the end result is still a bite that will take someone back to their childhood, then how I got there, and if I took a shortcut like a food processor, doesn't matter. So that's how I decide. But I'm not going to be like serving some deconstructed pastel because we got to draw the line somewhere. Like,
you talk about no waste cooking like a lot. What's one habit you wish more home cooks would start doing right now? And not just like taking pictures of their food and posting it on social media.
No. I, you know, for me, I wish more people would think about all the different ways they can stretch a single ingredient, right? I wish that more people thought about all the different ways they can stretch a single ingredient, right? So one of my favorite no-waste recipes, and it's one that I push a lot out there, is a no-waste vegetable stock. So you think about your vegetables, right? You buy them, you might cut them up, and you throw away the stems, you throw away the seeds, you might throw away the skins, depending on what it is, like if it's an onion, and then you just use part of it, right? But you can actually make it work for you in 3 to 4 different ways, okay? So you can keep a freezer bag in your freezer, but you can keep a bag in your freezer and you can freeze those scraps to make vegetable stock, right? So now you've used a majority of the vegetable. Now you're freezing the scraps to make stock. And then, you know, if you are a home gardener, you can compost that, turn it into soil and have it come back for you. But that liquid gold that you make from stuff you were going to throw away anyway is something that can fortify your meals. So when we talk about food banks, there's a lot of boxed foods, right? Instant rice or, you know, instant mashed potatoes, which are typically made with water, right? You can use this stock to fortify it and bring in nutrients and just, you know, be more creative. You know, I think about, you know, one of the things that I make during the holidays is a candy made out of grapefruit peels, right? And it's like I brought the grapefruit marmalade, right? One of my very first walk and talks, we made the Elena Cruz with the Aussie Select. That grapefruit marmalade, I got those grapefruits to make the candy out of the peel, but then I'm like, okay, what am I going to do with all this inside stuff? What am I going to do with all this juice? And I turned around and I made it marmalade, and I had marmalade for like 6 months. I gifted you guys some, I gifted some friends some, like, you know, so be creative, because what was going to go in the trash literally just became homemade gifts. And that's something else to think about during the holidays. You know, it is a time for giving, but we need to take away the pressure.
I long for times gone past. I mean, all the stuff you just said is really, that is old school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that there's going to be like a circle back around to that. I mean, people need to get off their phones. I hate to say it. I mean, it's the truth.
You know, it came back around during COVID and I thought it would stay, but you know, it is, you know, the memory is short, right? What is it? Something is long and something is short, but
I don't know. Something's long, short. We got TikTok out of COVID. That's what we got. Yeah. Second reels and you know, just brain into the neck. We're highlighting groups like Feeding Tampa Bay and World Central Kitchen. I mean, that's where things need to kind of start from the ground up. Why is it important to have this particular conversation?
First of all, I have been a long time volunteer with Feeding Tampa Bay, going on like 15 years. And they operate on 2%. So for, you know, every dollar you donate, 98 cents of that goes to feeding your hungry neighbor. And that alone gives me goosebumps. And as far as World Central Kitchen is concerned, like, what an incredible organization. So I don't know if I've shared this story before, but after Hurricane Helene, my daughter had, she was in kindergarten, had a classmate stranded on Clearwater Beach. And they were running out of food. They were running out of water. They were trapped because, you know, all the cars were dead. And I emailed like World Central Kitchen and I'm like, I need to help these people. And I kid you not, I was on the beach the next day. You know, what people don't realize is every dollar that you donate to an organization like Feeding Tampa Bay or World Central Kitchen. So for World Central Kitchen, they will pay the chefs, like they will buy the food for the chefs to be there. And they hire local talent. Like, I know She's So Crispy used her food truck to, I think she was in Treasure Island. But, you know, they will put the money back in the economy to help feed that community. And their response and their organization was so impressive, because I just kept thinking like of that mom and of my kid. And it was so hard not to put myself in that situation and know that day that I got there, she found a ride. So I don't know if she hitchhiked. I don't know how she got him to school, but he went to school with their very last granola bar. You know, and I was there, I got there and I was able to, you know, deliver meals to people in their homes. And it was just hugging her that day from one mother to another. Oh my God, it breaks me thinking about it. So that was my first interaction with World Central Kitchen up close, and they have my utmost respect. And as far as Feeding Tampa Bay is concerned, they have done such incredible work in our community. They have cafes now where, you know, they hire people and teach them culinary skills to send them out into the world and help them, you know, get jobs. And I mean, they have markets where you can go and shop with dignity. And they've got, you know, their social media is on fire. Every day there's pop-ups all over Hillsborough, Pinellas, Pasco. All they service 10 counties. And, you know, they are making the resources available. So, you know, you have to give it to them, because they're well off, you know, oiled machine, and they're run by passionate people.
Chef Jose Andres and what he does with his organization is fantastic. Mm-hmm. I do want to shout out Chef Amy Sins out of New Orleans with Fill the Needs. She is everywhere when it comes to feeding people, disasters, just anything possible. She gets tractor trailers on the road, gets people evacuated out of places. She's a real one. So is Stan Hayes, too, from Operation Barbecue Relief. All these people are fantastic. And these are the sort of programs that you need to follow and support.
100%. And that's, you know, I'm glad that you bring up the support, because if I can just give one little quick plug. You know, as soon as these SNAP benefits were announced that they were going to be cut and not coming in on November 1st, I saw a lot of people going out to grocery stores and donating to food banks. And people might have some hesitancy in donating money. But let me tell you, they can buy way more with your $1 than we can on our own. And that's because they have special relationships with these large grocery chains like Publix and Walmart, which I have to tell you, they have full on like 18 wheelers pulling up full of food. And that's because they get it like 10 cents on the dollar. So if you're going to go to the grocery store and you're going to spend $20, $25 buying groceries, give it to, you know, Feeding Tampa Bay or World Central Kitchen or, you know, some food organization, a food bank, right? We've got Feast in Palm Harbor. Because they can turn around and make that 25 100.
When you look at the food industry, do you think we're doing enough to make cultural foods accessible and affordable?
No, I don't. You know, as a CPG brand, I see it firsthand between the tariffs and the taxes and the inflation. You know, I want my food to be accessible to everyone. I think about, you know, the elders in my family on Social Security. And I know that, you know, if my product was in a store, they might not be able to afford it. And I don't want that. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, it was shocking how expensive fresh produce was just to make my own powders. So no, I don't think that as a country, we're doing a good job of making food accessible, period. You know, and as far as, you know, making cultural food accessible, you know, I think it depends on how you look at it. You know, are the recipes accessible? Yeah, go to domesticgourmet.com and you can learn how to make puerco guisado or pasteles, right? But in order to, you know, afford them, you know, right now in this day and age, I don't know.
I'll tell you this. I've got a couple of young kids, and do they love Cinnamon Toast Crunch? Absolutely. Is loaded with all sorts of stuff. The alternative, the healthy alternative to that particular flavor profile, that like little, is almost triple the price.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's crazy. And so when you want to eat healthy, they stick it to you grossly.
You know, that what people don't realize and what I learned the hard way was, you know, and I hate to bring it back to the tariffs, but, you know, I paid a really hefty price on cardboard. You know, my spice tubes are made out of cardboard, right? So you think about that. That translates to cereal boxes. And then you've got a different tariff for plastic. Well, that's the bag. And then spices. Where do you think cinnamon comes from? Most often it comes from Asia. And now there's taxes and tariffs on that. So it's compounded. When I saw that, you know, for cardboard and, you know, exporting from China was like 25% tariff, I was like, oh, okay, good. Because back in April, it was 157%, right? But then I learned that there's a formaldehyde tariff. And I'm like, how does that apply to me? Like, you know, I'm not a pharmaceutical company. And then there's some section 30 something, you know, and at the end of the day, it ended up being like a 55% tax on top of all my taxes. And I was like, oh my goodness, like, you know, it's hard.
I genuinely believe in the end, this tariff thing is going to be good. The short term, because they said it even in the beginning, the short term is, you know, it's not going to be pretty. It's not like they said it was going to be roses. Things are going to shift and it's going to get ugly. But I think in the long run, that's going to turn. I really, really believe that. It's just the nature of it. And we're experiencing some struggles, man. And it affects everybody. It affects everybody. But at the end of the day, we were getting taken advantage of pretty badly. And I know it's like, it hurts us in the pocket now. So you want to like kind of kick the can down the road. I get it. But man, it's going to happen sometime. This was going to happen in some fashion, one way or the other.
But it's kind of like not saving enough. And then, you know, an emergency happens and now you're bankrupt, right? So you've got the tariffs and that's hurting us. And now you've got the government shutdown and there's no SNAP benefits. You know, I mean, they say that they're coming, but, you know, right now people did not receive them on the first. So, you know, you just really just kicked a man while he was down. And it is very painful and very scary for me to see.
CG, you've launched your own spice line, started publishing recipes again. You're also the ambassador for Endofound, the Tampa Bay. I really do say it's not a word. You even heard it in the monologue. That was natural for me. The Tampa Bay Latin Chamber, and you're also a finalist for the Philanthropist of the Year Award via Tampa Bay Business and Wealth Magazine. I don't know how you are doing all these things, but how are you balancing entrepreneurship and advocacy?
You know, I'm very fortunate to have a strong team around me to kind of help pick up the slack when I feel called to a cause. But one of the ways that I try to balance the two is I try to incorporate my advocacy work, which fills my cup, with, you know, the business. So for instance, March is, you know, Endo Awareness. You know, I'll still be out doing cooking segments and recipes and all that, but I'm going to tie them into maybe an anti-inflammatory or, you know, something endo related. Or like right now, a lot of my recipes are geared towards low cost, you know, cooking. So
you're talking endometriosis, right?
I am talking about endometriosis.
Okay. Just want to be clear for the audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So EndoFound stands for the Endometriosis Foundation of America. I am a stage four endo warrior. I've been fighting this since I was 9 years old, multiple surgeries. So it is a cause close to my heart. Same thing with food insecurity. You know, I'm very fortunate that my mom was super crafty and my brother and I never went hungry. But that's not to say that I didn't see the impacts of that. And so that's why it's like, it's important to me too, especially, you know, I think about 16 million children that have lost their SNAP benefits. And now with the government shutdown, programs like Head Start are also shutting down. And that's a program where children were being fed breakfast and lunch. You know, they're losing two meals a day. So, you know, in times like this, it might not always be good for the business, but I feel like it's part of my core values. It's just part of who I am. If my family, you know, anytime there's a crisis, I check my kids, I check with my husband. We're okay. Then you know what? We've got it in us to go out and help someone else.
Amen to that. By the way, audience, if you want to learn more about CG's story with endometriosis, go to Hospitality Bites by Colleen Silk. Terrific episode. She's another podcaster affiliated with Walk and Talk Media. And it was a terrific, terrific episode. Go check that out. CG, if somebody hears this episode and can only take away one thing from it, what do you hope that it is?
I hope that we can shed the shame that maybe some of us might have surrounding asking for help. And
chefs and food buyers, let me tell you about a product that will generate new excitement on your menu. Fully cooked, pasture-raised, all-natural Australian lamb from Aussie Select. Their award-winning, handcrafted, innovative products are blended with the finest spices and amazing flavors. Options include agave rosemary, tikka masala, lamb pastrami, and lamb prime rib roast. Available sliced or whole with a long shelf life too. Find out more at AussieSelect.com.
Seek assistance. You know, I see it all over Facebook. Who needs help with groceries? You know, it's not easy to say, I need help. But please do that, because if it's out there, it, you know, take it. And so that's what I really hope. I hope that people come away from this inspired to be crafty with what they have, to stretch their ingredients, and to ask for help.
I mean, so that was well said. Obviously. And I concur 100%.
Thank you.
You know what I wanted to do too, John? Rosana Rivera and the empanadas from Saver St. Pete. Girl, I love you.
I love her too.
Yeah. Ricardo.
From Tampa Bay.
From Tampa Bay, man. I love you too, bro. CG, how are people finding you?
Domestic Gourmet, everywhere. DomesticGourmet.com for those no-waste recipes and spices and Annatto oil.
And speaking of girl, let me tell you something. The donut, the fried dough. Oh, my gosh. I'm craving it now. I'm up to here, and I still want mas. I'm just saying. All right, John, as always, baby, we are out.